You're listening to KCBS In-Depth.
Really, in order to find quality care, you often have to be on a wait list that's months long.
The people, places, and issues the Bay Area's talking about.
The aggressive advocates who were looking to overrule Roe for so long, they really had no idea of the consequences they might be opening up.
In this case, there very well may be charges that are appropriate. For example, trying to obstruct an official proceeding of Congress, right? That is unlawful.
This is KCBS In-Depth.
A recent report from Harvard's Joint Center for Housing Studies found that over 650,000 people reported experiencing homelessness in America in January of 2023. That's up nearly 50% from 2015. Even if the numbers are staggering, hearing this probably isn't as big of a shock as you would think. Here in California, the housing crisis has long been an issue, with rents going higher and higher, and not enough affordable options to go around. There's even been an exodus of people leaving the state, hoping to find solid ground on which to have a place to call home. So what's being done about this crisis? Where do we stand on a state level and on a local one? Welcome to KCBS In-Depth, broadcasting throughout the Bay Area and streaming on the Odyssey app. I'm Mary Hughes. We're going to turn first to Chris Martin, Policy Director for Housing California, a statewide advocacy nonprofit focused on the production and preservation of affordable housing and addressing homelessness. Chris, thank you for joining me in this conversation on the housing crisis that we're facing here in California. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
In your work, you've got a sort of broad look at what the state is facing when it comes to the housing crisis. But how did California get here? Why are things as dire as they are right now?
Yeah, I would say there's quite a few different factors that play into the housing crisis right now. But I think what we see is, broadly speaking, is a mismatch between rental costs and housing costs writ large and income. We see that divide between, the incomes that folks are making and what it costs to live here in California, the skyrocketing rents that we're seeing statewide. And yet we haven't seen those kind of increases in people's wages to keep up with that. And so I think when you think about housing, it's largely a challenge of a math problem where the rent is overly far more expensive than what wages are supplying for folks. I think when we think about housing in California, it's certainly a factor of cost of living here writ large, where we see that that California has the second highest cost of living in the entire country, and so that plays into people's day-to-day lives and their costs that they take on, and housing being the largest one among them, just continuing to perpetuate this inequities and these affordability crisis here in California. I would say on top of the cost side of this, there's a whole host of challenges as it relates to producing new affordable housing and investing in new affordable housing. I think both from a siting challenge where we see NIMBYs and people who really don't want to see development happen in their neighborhood continue to push back against new affordable housing. And that is particularly a challenge as it relates to supportive housing and housing for people that are unhoused and suffering on the streets. And so, when you combined a affordability crisis with a continuing challenge as it relates to siting and locating affordable housing, it gets to the fever pitch we have today, where it's kind of reached the largest crisis we've faced in California.
as you said, a lot of angles that this crisis stems from, and a lot of areas where that work then needs to be done. But of course, a big part of that conversation is funding. Where is it coming from? How do we get more? On a state level, what are we seeing? What's being done, and conversely, what's not being done to get more affordable housing?
Well, I would say that the state of California has, you know, since the governor came into office, has really stepped up its game on the financing side. You know, one thing that I think that this governor has really championed is the state low-income housing tax credit program, which is a really successful program that our developers use to help develop new affordable low-income housing. And the governor has championed that every single year he's been in office, a new allocation to that. You know, California, while it has stepped up its game as it relates to investing in affordable housing, it's still woefully insufficient. Back, you know, we saw the disillusion of redevelopment in the state of California, which was a financing source that local jurisdictions could really rely on. And it was consistent. It was year over year. And that could be utilized for affordable housing. And, you know, since that's gone away, we're just grasping at straws to try and keep up with that investment level. Housing California helped release the Roadmap Home 2030, which was an evidence-based policy agenda that is research-backed. And the research showed us that we need about $18 billion on an annual basis in housing investments to be able to meet the scale of the need. And we need to do that year over year. And that includes investments in homelessness and housing stability and keeping tenants in their homes. It includes resources for production of a new affordable housing and maintaining and operating affordable housing. And that number has never been reached. We've never gotten to that level of investment at the state. And so, you know, when we think about investment from a state level, we just need to start thinking about scale if we're going to actually set expectations of meeting the need, the scale of need, and the meeting this crisis head on. I would highlight a couple of things. You know, our 2018 Housing California helped co-lead the Proposition 1 and 2, which was a bond for affordable and supportive housing, about $3 billion. And those resources have dried up. We no longer have those resources, as we were able to use them so quickly because the demand is so high for those resources. And now here we are in 2024, and we have used all those resources. And you know, our developers are at a point where we need to be thinking about those investments again. And, you know, the last notice of funding from the Department of Housing and Community Development at the state showed that we had about an oversubscription of nearly 10 to 1 for resources in that notification of funding availability, which shows us that we have a host of thousands of developments and units that are ready to come online, and their only barrier to coming online is affordable housing funding. We don't have the financing. Those are things that have been cited. They're ready to go. They're shovel ready, so to say. And their only barrier is affordable housing financing. They need more funding from the state. And so, you know, as we think about the future here, we really need to be focused on investment. You know, we have a bond that we're considering for the ballot this year, and Housing California is really strongly pushing for that bond. It's a $10 billion bond from a Bay Area member, Assemblywoman Buffy Wicks, who is championing that and a real champion for us in the legislature and pushing that bond forward. And that's our number one priority this year, is getting that bond on the ballot, because we've exhausted all of our resources and we're at a point where we cannot let up. We need to be making sure that we continue those investments and keep that pipeline moving forward in the future years. We can't afford to hold up. Low-income folks are struggling throughout our state. And if we continue to underproduce and continue to underinvest, we're going to see homelessness continue to rise in this state.
Where do we as a state turn when we are struggling with finding the funding to get projects that are ready to go, you know, actually going? Where can we go beyond a ballot?
It's been a challenge to figure that out. I think some jurisdictions, the Bay Area is considering its own bond, and potentially even larger than $10 billion. And so we've seen localities start to take this in, and do it themselves. In Los Angeles, there's been, Measure H and H and Proposition HHH to kind of help the financing side, both on the services and production. The federal government provides resources, but nowhere near the scale of need. And so it's gotten to this point where we're trying to put things together that are, not even close to the need and meeting that scale. And so, developers, localities are really grasping at straws at this point, trying to figure out where we can find this funding, and coming from a whole host of different approaches. But at this stage, we really need the state to step up and be able to be the funding mechanism for local jurisdictions, and at least start to seed fund and get things moving so that we don't have this kind of like up and down year of budget cycling where we've got money, then we don't have money. And so we really need to keep up the momentum.
So much work to do. It can feel a little daunting, but we do see things come together. You did mention Roadmap Home 2030. Can you talk a little bit more about what that is and what solutions are in there, beyond what we've already spoken of?
Yeah, the Roadmap Home, as I mentioned, was really meant to answer the question of what it would take to end the housing and homelessness crisis. And we engaged dozens and dozens of stakeholders and researchers and spent a good deal of time over a year developing that document. It's well over 50 policies that, if enacted, would end the housing and homelessness crisis. So it's meant to be the answer to that question. It includes, provisions around financing and rethinking our system of financing, including putting on the table some options for revenue and ways in which we could raise the money. It talks about the investments that we should be making in supportive housing and affordable housing and legal assistance for tenants, and really looking at the broad range of interventions that we know we need. We know we can't just invest in housing production. We also have to invest in housing stability and keeping tenants in their existing affordable housing. And we also need to look at our system of services and resources for ending homelessness. We have to simultaneously invest in all of the areas. And really, the biggest barrier that remains within the roadmap is looking at the financing system, and achieving those investment levels that we know that we need. One thing that I think here in 2024, it's important for us to look back on is the success that we demonstrated during the pandemic. When we were faced with the challenge of this pandemic, we saw investments, really focused on those that are low income. We saw resources put into tenant stability and keeping folks where they are, and that helped really stabilize hundreds of thousands of folks across the country and in California. And we were able to shelter folks and prevent them from being exposed to COVID-19 during that pandemic through Project Roomkey. We were able to establish HomeKey and develop new supportive housing at rapid pace. And so I think it's important for our state and our electeds to look back on the pandemic and realize that if we have the political will, we have the solutions to meet the crisis head on. And the biggest challenge is getting beyond the things that have held us up in the past, and really thinking about, how we can utilize what we know are the best practices to end this crisis, and address it at scale. We're hopeful that we can learn from the lessons of the pandemic, and really utilize what we know are the best practices to house people, keep them housed, and produce enough affordable housing for everyone in our state.
In Depth will return after a moment. Now we turn to Sarah Karlinski, Research Director at SPUR, the San Francisco Bay Area Planning and Urban Research Association, a nonprofit public policy organization. Sarah, thank you so much for being a part of this housing conversation on In Depth.
My pleasure.
There's a lot to get into when we are talking about the housing crisis. statewide, but especially here in the Bay Area. I think it's one of the most important conversations that we're having and have been having. From your perspective in the work that you do, you know, what seems to be getting in the way of creating more affordable and accessible housing in the Bay Area right now?
I agree with you. This is an incredibly important conversation because it's about who gets to stay in the Bay Area and who gets to live here. First of all, there is not enough funding for affordable housing. And by affordable, I mean housing that is really affordable to lower income households in our region and is restricted for lower income households. It's sometimes called subsidized housing or deed restricted housing. And just the lack of funding to build that housing is really makes it really, really challenging to build, frankly, enough housing for those who need it at those income levels. The second challenge has to do with just a lack of zoning for more what I'm calling more affordable, little a affordable housing types. So that's not necessarily subsidized housing. It's housing that the market might build. But because the units are smaller, it's in an apartment structure, they might be just more affordable to the general person. And if we don't have enough zoning for apartments, they aren't going to get built. And instead, what we're going to end up with is either no housing or just single family homes, which tend to be more expensive.
So much relies on funding. Do you think enough is coming to Bay Area cities from the state, or is a combined effort, state, local, you know, everything, the only way forward?
Yeah, so great question. Funding comes from a variety of different sources for affordable housing. I actually used to develop affordable housing on the peninsula. I worked for a organization called MidPen Housing, and it was really tricky to get all that funding. Sometimes people refer to affordable housing financing as like a wedding cake or a layer cake, because you've got federal funding, and then you've got state funding, and then you've got local funding. And affordable housing developers are running around trying to get all these different sources to work together on their layer cake so they can bake their cake and have it come out, if you will. And it's very time consuming and it's very tricky. So in answer to your question, the answer is yes. The housing funding should come from all levels of government. So the state really needs to be leading on this, but also the region. And then local governments sometimes have their own sources of funding, and all of them are needed to pay for affordable housing.
You mentioned the challenge of zoning. Here in San Jose, just recently, the housing element that the city, you know, had to send to the state was approved, and that has restored local control over zoning. It took a whole year to get to this point, and that can be a little demoralizing in a sense, because with a crisis like this, speed is of the essence. One aspect that I know Spur has looked at when it comes to making things faster, more efficient, is looking at housing governance. What is this, and what role does it play in getting more affordable housing?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for that question. So we at Spur just released a new report actually on this topic of housing governance called Structured for Success, Reforming Housing Governance in California and the Bay Area. And the way that we define governance is we define it as the governmental systems or set of systems that regulate, impede, finance, or incentivize housing. And there are many, many layers of government. I guess we're talking a lot about layers today, but we've got, of course, the federal government, but then we've got state government, we've got regional government, and we've got local government. And in the Bay Area is somewhat unique because instead of having sort of one big city with sort of suburbs around it, we actually have many different cities. So we're What's called a polycentric city. We've got San Francisco, we've got San Jose, we've got Oakland, we've got other cities, and there's actually like 101 cities in the Bay Area. So it gets like really complicated really fast because each city is kind of trying to figure out what it's doing about housing. And there's a lot of pressure on local governments not to allow housing to move forward, because sometimes neighbors are not excited about new apartments or new neighbors or what have you. So there's a lot of pressure on each local government not to permit housing. And one thing that we write about in this report is how important it is for the state to play a really strong and powerful role. What you were just talking about in terms of the housing elements and the blueprint for housing, that is a state framework for planning for housing that is actually very strong, where the state comes up with a target for housing, and then the region then distributes that target. And there are incentives for local governments to conform with the plan, and there are sticks if they don't. And there's very little else in basically the state planning framework that functions like that. So in our report, we talk about kind of strengthening these kinds of systems. And the other thing we talk about is there are various agencies at the state level. And the one that has housing in it also has business and consumer services in it. So it has underneath that agency, it's not just housing, it's things like cannabis regulation, and I think there's like horse racing and alcoholic beverages. So the secretary of that agency actually has quite a lot to deal with, not just housing. And we talk about the fact that there's really a need to have an agency that is just housing, highly focused on housing, and then explaining to the entire government what the trade-offs are of different various regulations and how they impact housing production. So that can be taken into account when the state is making recommendations.
So what are we seeing that's working in the Bay Area when it comes to solving the housing crisis?
One, I think that I have heard state leaders and electeds and others talking about housing differently. Feels like in the past, I want to say 5 or 7 years, the conversation around housing has really changed. So when I started in this field, the conversation was much more this conversation of, oh, we don't want more housing in our community, or like, oh, we definitely don't want low-income housing in our community. It was very sort of like negative, a lot more about kind of like protection of what is. And through the work of many advocates and activists over the years, the conversation has just changed to know, this is a crisis, and we're all responsible for addressing it. And we've got many local elected leaders who are real champions of housing, and the Bay Area should be very proud of that. So that's one massive change that I've seen. Another change is what you started talking about with these housing plans, the housing elements. They're a lot stronger than they used to be. Slowly, over time, those plans have been, the requirements for those plans have been strengthened at the state level. And now they really have teeth, and the cities really have to do them. And the state is really looking at what the cities are doing. And that makes a big difference. And then a third thing that I would point to as a bright spot is that there's a lot more acceptance of what I call kind of smaller housing types, or some refer to as missing middle housing types. Some might talk about like ADUs, accessory dwelling units, or granny flats. Again, when I started off, there was a big concern about, oh, if you allow like a little unit in somebody's backyard, where's everybody going to park? And we can't possibly do this. And now there's been a whole bunch of state legislation that has passed that has made it possible to build these smaller units, and they're cropping up all over the state. And they're really, really helpful to add to the housing stock and create more affordable housing options.
Realistically, especially here on a local level, here in the Bay Area, you know, what more can those governments and the surrounding communities do when it comes to expediting, you know, getting more housing or getting more solutions to get people into homes?
Yeah, great question. So there's a lot. There's a lot that local governments can do. So the first one is, of course, you know, get good, strong housing plans in place, these housing elements that we've been talking about. You know, make sure that if you're a local jurisdiction, that you're adopting your housing element and that it conforms to state law. Once that plan has been adopted, there's still zoning that needs to happen. So each city is going to need to zone that, you know, those are like the rules and regulations for what can get built on land, and make sure there's zoning to conform with that plan and that the zoning is realistic and buildable. Like, you know, some jurisdictions might say, oh, yeah, we're zoning for apartments, but then the setbacks are too deep, or, you know, they're requiring things that just make it much harder to build. If the city is thinking about how to make sure that the zoning is buildable, that's great. I think another thing that can happen is these missing middle housing types that we've been talking about. Local governments can support missing middle housing. They can think about, hey, it would be really nice to have, you know, duplexes, fourplexes, sixplexes in our communities. Like, how do we make that happen? How do we encourage that? Cities can build cultures that are friendly to housing. Instead of talking about housing in a fearful way, they can talk about it in a positive way. One thing in my own community that the planners did is when they got their housing allocation through the housing element process, they actually made banners and like put them up all over town saying, hey, we're gonna plan for 587 new homes. I think that really sets the tone for how the type of conversation we're gonna have about housing.
You can hear in-depth episodes on the Odyssey app. Download the app on your smartphone and favorite KCBS radio. Thanks for listening for KCBS and In-Depth. I'm Mary Hughes.
You've been listening to KCBS In-Depth. Get every episode by subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other podcast platforms. Visit kcbsradio.com for more news and interviews. We are the Bay Area's news station, KCBS.